Let's continue our study in Job. Now we're reading from the Defender Bible Limited Edition. If you have one, and they are all sold out. So sorry if you weren't able to get one in time, but they do have the same deal at SkywatchTVStore.com. But instead of the Bible, they put the expanded Apocrypha that we have from the Researchers Library. They put that in there. So you can still get the deal. It's still a great deal, and you can still follow along. But if you have your Defender Bible, limited edition, King James Version with expanded Apocrypha, absolutely gorgeous book. If you have it, go ahead and open it up to where we left off in Job. And where exactly was it? I think we got through the first two chapters. Yes. So we will be going into chapter 3 today. It begins on page 598. Again, this is in the first part of the book because the second part in the Apocrypha, the numbers roll over. They go back to one. So we'll continue on from here. Now the last that where we left off last time, Job's friends came over and they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and they didn't speak a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. So they didn't know what to say. They stayed with him for a week, and that's where we left off. So starting chapter 3, verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut up not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? From now should I have lain still and been quiet, for I should have slept, and I should that then had I been at rest. I'll just cut in right there. What's interesting is he's already been tempted. Job's already been tempted by his wife to curse God and then die. But he does, and we talked about that last week, what that's really all about. Now he's got obviously a lot of feelings, a lot of negative feelings on this matter, but he does the exact opposite of what his wife tells him to do. Instead of cursing God and then dying, he decides to curse the day that he was born and lament that he didn't die then, because then he would be at peace. Now he would be at peace, presumably with God. What Job's view or belief of the afterlife isn't exactly clear, but that's what we would kind of assume. Or at the very least, he wouldn't be in the pain and all the suffering that he's had to deal with so far. He wouldn't have to deal with it. So it's interesting that even through all that, and even when he's got his own wife telling him, like, you should do this, you should just curse God, you know, look what he's doing to you, he still doesn't do it. What I think is going on here is, in cursing the day that he was born, he's in a sense cursing himself rather than cursing God. You know, he's and this is interesting. When we fall into hardships, how often do we ask what our role in it is? Now, I don't think we necessarily need to go so far as to curse ourselves and to wish we had never been born. But I would say that's a lot better than cursing or blaming a perfect, all-knowing God. But how often do we actually take it upon ourselves to wonder what have I done to lead me here, to lead myself here? What could I have done differently? Now, you know, some could read the book of Job and said that he couldn't have done anything differently. We talked a little bit about that last week too. That might be true, but it's unclear. We don't know much about his life beforehand, just that he was faithful to God and he had a lot of really good stuff. So we don't know if he had really dealt with hardship before. This might be the first time. Yet he still had enough sense about him that he'd rather curse himself rather than cursing God. And I want to put that to you. How often do we do that? When we hit turmoil, the best thing you can do is ask yourself, what could I have done differently? Because that'll teach you what to do in the future. But also, did I play any role in this? What did I do to lead myself here? Am I wrong somewhere? Now, sometimes it might seem like that's a silly thing to do, like if you have some type of disease or something. But again, it's still better to do some self-reflection than it would be to curse God. So you don't, now I'm not advocating you wish that you'd never been born. You know, again, we don't need to go that far. But again, as far as we know, this might have been Job's real first time dealing with this much turmoil. And that might be why he's taking it that far. You know, he's missing the mark a little bit, but it seems like he's kind of on the right track and not cursing God, yet he's kind of cursing himself. Some might make the point, well, he's sort of cursing God in a roundabout kind of way. You know, he's saying, oh, I just wish I never would have been born. Curse that day I was born. Well, who gave that day? You know, who was the one that was responsible for Job being born? Who gave Job life? Who gave Job that day of being born? Of course, it was God. So the case could be made that maybe Job is taking a roundabout way. Maybe he doesn't want to curse God directly, but maybe he's doing it in a roundabout kind of way, is like, you know, because he still fears God. So that could be it too. And you know, we might even do that when something bad happens in our lives and we tend to blame other things that God has given us, you know, like your wife or your children or something like that, friends, family. But I think that self-introspection is the best way to go in those types of situations. And if there is, if it is just something that happens, like an illness, and you didn't do anything to contribute to it and it just happened, okay, well, then you're a little stronger now because you've had that time to reflect and to stave off the temptation to curse God in that situation. Now you can pray to God. I mean, I think it's even fine to ask God things. I trust you, Lord, but why did this happen? You know, I believe there's a reason, but I'm not seeing it. I've certainly had that prayer myself many times throughout my life. So that's completely understandable. I think that's okay. But that's a lot different than what Job is doing here. Yet, as we'll find later on in the book, God still blesses Job with an answer. Now, it's not the answer he might have been looking for, but he still gets one. Okay, so let's continue on. We left off in verse 13, so continuing on with 14. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. You know, that's interesting there, long for death, but it cometh not. We kind of see that type of phrase in Revelation 9, I believe, with the locusts that sting people, and then they go and seek death, but they find it not. I think that's interesting. I wonder if there's some kind of parallel there. I'll have to look into that. But anyway, where'd we leave off? 21, yeah, verse 21, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasure, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So I think that's really interesting how he puts that. What he was scared of most has come to fruition. He thought he was in safety, but his biggest fear, it turns out, he wasn't. it turns out that he actually wasn't really safe all along. At least this is from his perspective. Now, what he doesn't realize right now is he's safe now. You know, God still has him in his hands. Even if Job were to die, he would still be safe because he would still be with God. That's the same for all of us. He's still safe. He's very uncomfortable. You know, he's gone through horrible tragedies that probably none of us could ever imagine. Yet he's got it a little bit backwards here. He thinks that his biggest fear has come true. He actually wasn't in safety. And to a certain point, that's probably right. I mean, chaos, which is in Job personified as Leviathan and Behemoth. We'll get into that. I'm excited for that. But chaos can come into your life at any point. But the point is, it doesn't mean that you're not safe ever. If you're only talking about physical life and stuff like that, then sure, you know, tragedy is going to happen. Chaos is going to come into your life, but it's how you handle it that's really important. And realizing in those times, you realize, oh, I'm still safe now. I'm still safe now. If you have faith in the Lord, you're still safe, even if you're going through just the worst tragedy imaginable. Even if and when you die, because we're all going to die, you're still safe because God's got you. So Job has it a little bit backwards here, but again, he's still sort of on the right track in understanding. He's not cursing God. He's getting kind of close in some areas, and he doesn't have the exact idea, but he's trying to figure it out. You know, he's talking it out and trying to figure it out. And that's a lot of how we come to revelations in our own lives by talking them out. All right. So chapter 4, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? So basically, are you going to be upset if we talk to you? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. I toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, which when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. The image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants and his angels. He charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. All right, we'll conclude there, but that's an interesting point. You know, who among us is more pure than our maker, than God? And even when we don't understand the ways of God, that doesn't mean that he's not righteous and he's not pure or that he's doing something wrong. That's a foolish way to think, because some people think that. Some people, it's usually, oddly enough, it's usually people who don't believe in God or at least claim they don't believe in God, like Richard Dawkins has said some of the worst things imaginable about the God of the Bible that he supposedly doesn't believe in, yet is visibly upset with and angry with. I mean, you can see it when he talks about him. And he's been asked before, you know, what will you say if God is real and you have to stand before him after you die? And then he's like, well, I'll say, you know, and he quoted, I don't know. I think maybe Christopher Hitchens or somebody, another, I don't remember exactly who he quoted, but, or this might have even been him, and maybe Christopher Hitchens or somebody else quoted him. But But he said something along the lines of, basically, well, there's cancer and there's disease, and you're letting all this happen. So, you know, why would I want to believe in you? I'm telling you, once you get to that point, you will not be saying those things. It will seem so utterly puny and ridiculous once you're standing face to face with a holy, righteous, just, perfect God, that those you will have nothing to do but fall flat on your face. There is nothing else to do. It might not seem like it now because we're in human form and we have limited reasoning, and a lot of times we try to devolve God into more into more human terms rather than try to elevate our thinking, which we can never do fully, but or even get close, but at least realize that God, in that sense, we're not going to be able to understand him. You know, we're not going to be able to reason our way to his ways. You know, his ways are not our ways. And to think that we can is foolish. So once that point comes, once you stand before God and you have to give an account of your life, or however exactly that's going to work, once you stand before God, there are going to be no excuses. There aren't going to be. And it's not just because you're going to be in front of a bully or a tyrant or anything like that. There's nothing that you're going to be able to say to God that's going to make any bit of difference, because it's already too late. So you may as well get right with him now while there's still time.
You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or, for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at @JPDisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.